morning. Michael Malice here with the spinning meteor to my right and some news to your left, some nightshade news. Big news coming out of the UK. Theresa May, who might be one of the most terrible politicians of all time in every sense of the word, one of the points I have always made, I think I make this in my forthcoming book and elsewhere, is that people who are moderates often get away with the most unconscionable things because they're not branded as extremists, and they can persuade people from both sides that this is reasonable and engage in just really, really shitty, shitty ideas. And while Brexit is collapsing around her, which will be her only legacy, she found time to start invoking internet censorship by law. Here's this little video of her announcement on Twitter.
Social media can be brilliant at connecting people across the world. But I'm deeply concerned that social media firms are still not doing enough to protect users from harmful content.
Okay, stop this. Hold on.
And that...
harmful is not a legal term. Or it is a legal term. She's not using... what she's doing is the bait and switch. In a legal sense, I'm sure... I'm not an attorney, though I am Jewish. Harm has a very specific meaning. This harmful... in social media has a very different meaning. It could mean slander and libel. That's certainly harmful. It could be spreading misinformation about someone or harassing them. That's certainly harmful. Or it could be pointing out that you're a stupid bitch who is despicable in every way, who is right now licking the boots of a Marxist in order to get your plan across the finish line, a plan you didn't even believe in to begin with, and yet you ran for Tory leader for no reason other than wanting to be in power. You have no principles whatsoever. Pointing that out's harmful too, isn't it? Go ahead.
That's not good enough. So today, we're putting a legal duty of care on these companies to keep users safe. And if they fail to do so, tough punishments will be imposed.
We're so concerned about your safety that we're going to give you tough punishment. This is just the shamelessness of, okay, we want this to be a safe area, a safe space, a safe environment, which is something I think is reasonable. And if not, there's going to be tough punishment. Now, if someone has a gun to your head and says, make sure this is safe, are you going to err on the side of allowing people to say things that are slightly provocative? Or are you going to look at this nasty old crone to your right and be like, you know what? Maybe she'd see this as harmful. I'd better make sure it doesn't happen. Which is the more realistic scenario? Make people safe. You know what makes people really safe on social media? That you can't touch them. You can't reach them. The unsafe part is the government. When you call the police on someone from social media and they SWAT your house, or they show up at your house, or they arrest you because your fucking dog gave a Nazi salute, but his heart wasn't in it. It is amazing. In the guise of safety, and see, here's the thing. You guys know I'm an anarchist at this point. No one gets on TV, or very few people, and says, I want oppression. I want to take away people's freedom. I want to control your life. They're not going to say that. They say, I want to make things safe. You know what's really safe? Being in a straitjacket. Actually, it's probably not that safe. Padded rooms are. Take away your shoelaces in prison. You can't hang yourself. It's really safe. But it turns out what's safe on paper always isn't safe in real life. And what's dangerous, really dangerous, as we've seen in the last few years, is when points of view are not allowed to be expressed, that are maybe edgy, or even more than edgy, and are driven underground, and they come out in other ways. This is basic psychology. You don't have to be Sigmund Freud to understand this. Let's finish this idiocy.
Posed. The era of social media firms regulating themselves is over. It's time to do things differently.
Look, look at this. You know, she's like leave that picture up. She's like the embodiment of Dorian Gray. Those disgusting fat cheeks, those handbags under her eyes. It looks like a wig. I mean, this is like a dummy come to life to haunt Britain, which once was an empire. The sun never set in the British Empire. And now this is looking at you from your screen, Rule Britannia, and telling you it's time to do things differently. Let me tell you something. Having the government control your speech isn't doing things differently. That's how it used to be done. And technology is what overthrew that. And what technology is what's going to save us again, in my view. Go ahead. Is that the rest of this? This is only the little left.
It's time to keep our children safe.
Oh, my God. It's for the children. It's the fucking children. We are going to punish your parents with harsh punishments for the sake of the children. Because, you know, there's nothing children like seeing than their parents arrested for a Facebook post. Or their parents arrested because they work at Facebook and someone else had a post. That's what's for the children. The fucking children. Maybe you should be worried about all those children getting raped for decades. And the media not reporting it over there, Miss Theresa May, the Right Honorable Theresa May. And further, something else I've been talking about for a very long time in the show. I have receipts. There's data. First of all, there's a new Conres poll for the British Telegraph. Support for both the major British parties has collapsed to 32% each. Imagine if the Republicans and the Democrats each had 32%. We have never had that situation ever in America. Well, I mean, at least since the Civil War. Trump's at what? Let's say low 40s. Democrats are mid 40s. So that's what, like 85% combined? This is 64% combined. Absolutely mental. This is 10 points below what Theresa May got in the general. It's not just bad news for both of them. The third party, the Lib Dems, have gotten to fifth place, which is behind UKIP, which was Nigel Farage's old party, and that new independent group called Change UK. Now, where it says pick, show the pick. What's the pick? This... I don't know. Doesn't this graph literally look, and this is from the Telegraph, doesn't this graph literally look like a sixth grader using Excel for the first time?
Learning what a graph is for the first time.
Yeah, it's like, all right, let's put in three numbers. 7, 7, 4, 4, 3, and press graph. Now, you have, what colors do you want? Oh, let's make them as like juvenile as possible. Holy shit. So from left to right, that's the Conservatives, Labour, UKIP, whatever that stupid thing is, and then the Lib Dems. Wow. Okay, but there's more. Remember how I said for weeks on the show that there's no governing majority for what to do with Brexit? They had another poll, which is equally special needs made. Pull that up. These are the different choices. We have literally like a six-way tie for what to do about Brexit. Okay, so the poll was... So, should we revoke Brexit? 40%. Leaving with no deal, which is the current course, 38%. That's a roughly statistical tie. A second referendum with options between Theresa May's deal or Remain, those would be the only two choices on the ballot, would be 38%. Exact tie. Now, having a long delay, 34%. So you have between 34 to 40% of six different choices. None of them are close to 50. And the other thing is, it's not like there's like a pool of two and then four in the second tier. Like with the political parties, you have the Labour and Conservatives clearly ahead, and then you have the three others down below. No, no, no. This is a six-way tie statistically. This is insanity. So the politicians, who this is uncharted territory for them, you would think they'd want a demagogue, maybe, right? At the very least, be like, look, I don't know what the fuck to do. What do these idiot voters want to do? Give me the data. Okay, here you go. This is, I don't, what do I do with this? And it's not even split directly along party lines. So she never wanted this vote to begin with. The plan will be rendered moot. The EU is going to reject it tomorrow. They're having a vote on it. And the Conservative Party is falling apart at the seams. But Parliament has approved one of her proposals, Theresa May's proposals. Today, they voted 420 to 110 in favor of her plan to ask the EU to delay Brexit until June 30th. The current deadline is Friday, April 12th. I'll be in Providence. She wants this short delay because anything longer than that means Britain has to take part in EU elections. She brought this to a vote because of a bill passed last week, which required her to ask for an extension and giving Parliament the right to approve the date she asked for. 97 of her party, the Tories, voted against this, so she had to rely on the support of Labour and smaller parties to get this through. No matter how this drama unfolds, the Conservatives are deeply split over Brexit and deeply kind of united against her. I mean, everyone, I have not seen anyone have her back. And this is really weird because even George W. Bush, even Nixon at their lowest, and parliamentary system is very different, let's be clear. Even Nixon at his lowest, Bush at his lowest, the party faithful were like, I still believe in you. No one believes in her. I can't think of anything like that in the U.S. unless you have something like a Barry Goldwater where he's the nominee that only a very small people, but that's a very different situation. So she also today met with Angela Merkel and Emmanuel Macron from France to try to convince them to back her delay request. However, the plan is probably DOA. In a letter inviting leaders to tomorrow's emergency EU leaders summit, European Council President Donald Tusk, pictured here, warned that, quote, granting such an extension, do we get his picture?
I bet I didn't see it in the bold. I asked to get it underlined too, just saying.
So, it wasn't bold. All right. We're just going to wait, I think. I think we should just wait. Just like your Theresa May wants us to wait. Can we play Jeopardy music? He's got cancer, you know. There we go. Ooh, he's an ooh. That is an oof. That he looks like Savannah from Shazam. Good Lord, what a scary looking man. He said, this is the president of the European Council, and he's not the enemy. Good Lord.
He looks like Frasier's stand-in.
Yeah. There's this, he also looks like Jaws from James Bond, right?
I think he looks like old Anthony Cumia.
Oh, fuck.
Old Anthony, like Anthony Grandpa. You don't see the face? I wouldn't say if I didn't severely see his face in there.
How old is he and how old's Anthony? Look him up. You don't have to guess. Look it up. He's on Wikipedia. He's the head of the European Council. Oh, Drew's just sitting there like, oh, you don't have to guess. You're not supposed to know who he is. I didn't know who he was. Go to Wikipedia. Okay.
Donald Tusk is 61 years old.
And how old's Anthony?
I think less than that.
Well, he's less, but it's not going to be much less.
Not much less.
Yeah, yeah. He looks good for Zanis. Anthony does. So Donald Tusk warned that, quote, simply underlining my name in an email will not be enough to get the attention of your producer, even though you had discussed this prior. Wait, no, I misread the teleprompter. It said, granting such an extension would increase the risk of a rolling series of short extensions and emergency summits, creating new cliff edge dates. So he also added that the experience so far, as well as the deep divisions within the House of Commons, give us little reason to believe that the ratification process can be completed by the end of June. And rather than granting her request, he's urging EU leaders to offer a longer extension that would last only as long as necessary and no longer than 1 year. And in fact, there was even a draft agreement that they sent around to various members of the EU ahead of the meeting, which refers to as, quote, no longer than XX.XX. In other words, Brexit could kick in immediately as soon as May is able to win parliamentary approval for the withdrawal agreement that has now been rejected 3 times. And bad news, she's been talking to Jeremy Corbyn, but the reports have not been encouraging at all. And Macron from France has been reluctant to agree to a long extension, fearing the disruptions that could result from letting the UK with one foot out the door continue to be a full member of the Union, as well as dreading the way the Brexit issue would continue to overshadow everything else in the EU agenda. And that's fair. That's a good point. I didn't realize that. If he's like, listen, we're France, we're part of the EU, we're on the Euro, all of our meetings are about Britain. You bitch, you said you want to leave. Bye. Bye, bitch, bye. Get the fuck out of here. We got shit to worry about. There's riots in the yellow vests. I got enough on my plate. I married my mom. So the backlash May has already faced from her own party is likely nothing to where she'll get if it looks like Britain is going to remain in the EU for another year. And that's only assuming that the other 27 countries actually agreed an extension. If they don't, Britain will crash out of the European Union without a deal at 11 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time on Friday. Oof. This is going to be hilarious. I'm going to make a prediction. I don't know European politics all that well. Not at all. I cover it, but I cover it in terms of votes. I don't cover the you know, the politics aspect that much. And EU politics is its own weird animal. I don't think they need a majority. I think they have to have like a unanimous agreement for this to happen. And I think they're nasty and spiteful enough, which is something I admire, that I can see them being like, look, we gave you a postponement. You're not even close to getting a deal. We could give you till June. You're not going to be close then. Fuck you. Fuck out of here. This is going to be your funeral. And we're going to laugh as you collapse, because that's just going to make other countries not want to leave the EU. That's my guess. And on the other hand, if they do that, then they get to be the bad guy. And Theresa May is like, oh, you know, if we just had an extension, our economy couldn't, blah, blah, blah. So I don't know how they're going to play it. That's a very good question, and I don't have a very good answer. In other internet safety news, it's funny. It's really funny. In other internet safety news, there is something. There's a clown named Lil Lunchbox, and she's been upset, and she's been in a tear. And this is the video that launched it, and I want to share it with you and your loved ones. Let's play this.
And I'm disgusted, and I made a video ranting about it, but I don't even think I want to post it because I don't want to give them that much attention. We'll see where it goes. You know, I'll keep the video on ice, and we'll just see how far they want to take this. But I'm ready to go to war. I'm ready to go to motherfucking war. You're not going to take a symbol of happiness and acceptance and multiculturalism and turn it into something racist and anti-Semitic and homophobic and transphobic. You're not going to do that on my watch. You're not. So Pepe, he belongs to me now.
Okay, stop this. Stop.
Pepe the fuck.
Yeah. So fun fact, I think I learned this from the inside of a Snapple bottle. Clown makeup is actually unique to each clown. I think it's copyrighted or trademarked. So this is like a whole, like stealing jokes in comedy. Like every clown has their own makeup, and it's a real thing. It's a big deal. I'm not saying she stole her look at all. You don't get to own a character that someone else created. You also don't get to own a character that someone else created, even if legit, like straight up Nazis appropriated it. That's not really how it works in a legal sense, but in a cultural sense. I'm sure that, what was it, Little Lunchbox? When you're making your balloon animals and you're making that poodle, that wasn't original you. And that's fine. But the idea that Pepe was a symbol of multiculturalism is demented and false. He was never a symbol of multiculturalism. I talk about his origins in The New Right, and I go heavily into this topic. He was a frog who was in a comic by Matt Fury, and he was also the reaction pick for Feels Good Man. I guess you want to say multiculturalism feels good, and that's your prerogative, but that's not what Pepe has stood for. So you don't get to claim him, and they, if anything, they were squatting on him first. So yeah, let's go some more.
The frog with his curly ass afro clown wig belongs to me. That is a symbol of the resistance now. I encourage you all to share. I'm gonna Photoshop a picture of Pepe
The first time I watched this, I thought she said photocopy. And I'm just imagining her taking these fucking Pepe with clown wig and putting it everywhere in her neighborhood and all the kids being terrified out of their minds. Go ahead.
Pro LGBTQ symbols and pro black symbols, and we are taking Pepe back. He's mine. I'm adopting him. I'm saving him from these freaks, these degenerates.
Hold on.
Who think that it's okay.
Hey, I got an idea. You want to save people from freaks and degenerates? Maybe you can adopt an LGBTQ kid who needs a mom. Maybe you can adopt a black kid who needs a mom. there's lots of kids who actually need adopting who are real, who aren't imaginary frogs that someone else created who might be Holocaust deniers. You want to adopt someone and make a difference and help LGBT people, Q people, let them in your house. I'm not even being sarcastic. This is a very big problem, especially when kids are a little older and they've been jumping around. I talk about this with Nick Searcy in my episode next week of You're Welcome. This is a real thing. I mean, a lot of these trans kids get kicked out of their house, or they're suicidal, or they're acting out. It's a mess for them because they're not in a culture that accepts them. Even if you want to assume that they're full-blown crazy, it's still not going to be easy for them, no matter what your perspective is on the trans issue. Raise them. You're a fucking clown. You're probably good with kids. That's your job. That and terrifying the elderly. And also selling hamburgers. These are the three main clown occupations. Kids parties, terrifying the elderly, selling hamburgers. And also, wait, there's also the liquor store in L.A. That's number four. Go ahead.
Hey, to take a symbol of happiness and just, it's disgusting. It's sickening. It's sickening that people would take such a positive thing like clowns and try to make it Hold into on. A symbol.
You know, clowns. Can you put up a photo of Pogo the clown? There's a clown I know named Pogo. He used to play pranks on the kids. What he would do is he would take the guys to his house, put them in handcuffs, and be like, here's the trick, you're never getting out. And then he would kill them. Pogo, we got Pogo? Pogo was the name of Framed. Lovely. Pogo was Framed. Pogo did nothing wrong. Pogo was the stage character of John Wayne Gacy, who murdered lots of people and raped them, I think, during and after they were killed.
Children, right?
No, he was adults, I think. Oh, okay. Or like young twinks, I think was his thing. There's also this little character called It. Ever heard of It? It's kind of a big movie. The clown. I don't know if It ever killed the kids. I never saw It. I thought he just captured them and made them float, right? Did he actually kill them? Did either of you see the movie?
I think in the miniseries they killed the younger brother.
Oh, okay.
That started the whole thing off.
Okay.
Pennywise.
Yeah, Pennywise. Yeah. What about, have you heard of this guy called the Joker? He's got some issues. Why so serious, little lunchbox? Why so serious? Okay, let's play a little bit more of this and we can get to the last thing.
For your racism, you're pathetic. The clown emoji belongs to us, the Lunchables. Pepe the Frog, the clown version, and just him in general, honestly, because he's been through a lot. He belongs to us, the Lunchables. You really thought.
I got this DVD called like Old Educational Films. It was from the 70s. And it was teaching teachers how to teach retarded kids not to like beat off in class. And the euphemism at the time was trainables. So they didn't want to call them retarded, and mentally disabled wasn't a thing yet. Man, we have a theme this week. And so trainables is a really great word. So whenever she's talking about Lunchables, all I can think of is that she's got this posse of these like, you know, kids dressed as frogs in clown suits, and she's the queen of them. And maybe they reenact the Civil War or something. Let's just watch a little bit more of this, then we're going to get on to Candace Owens.
You neckbeard Cheeto dust, butt-sniffing, fart-sniffing, living with your mother, father, grandma, I don't care, you fucking assholes.
Hey, sorry, that's enough of that. You know who else lives with their mother and father and grandmother? Children. Is there anything wrong with that? Not there's anything wrong with that. So, frankly, I don't know if little lunchbox is even the right word. That lunchbox looks a little big to me. And this, I am not a particular fan of Candace Owens. Today, because we live in the best of all timelines, although I have to say after Diamond and Silk, this is not really a step down or step up.
We just started recording.
Amazing. So she was testifying in front of the House committee, And they Ted Lieu, who's a totally sane congressman, played this clip where it made it seem like she was speaking kindly about Hitler, which would have been kind of odd, given that Candace is, as you can tell, a woman of color. And she clapped back. You know, they call her this generation's Ayn Rand. And when you watch this clip, you can see why. And watch the look at Gerald Nadler's face when she fucking nails him to the cross. Watch this.
Ms. Owens, I'm sorry. We just started a recording. Would you like time to respond to that?
Yes, I think it's pretty apparent that Mr. Lieu believes that black people are stupid and will not pursue the full clip in its entirety. He purposely presented an extracted clip.
Witness will suspend for a moment. It is not proper to refer disparagingly or to a member of the committee. The witness will not do that again. Witness may continue.
Sure, even though I was called despicable.
Witness may not refer to a member of the committee as stupid.
I didn't refer to him as stupid. That's not what I said. That's not what I said at all. You didn't listen to what I said. May I continue?
Please.
As I said, he is assuming that black people will not go pursue the full two-hour clip. And he purposefully extracted, he cut off and you didn't hear the question that was asked of me. He's trying to present as if I was launching a defense of Hitler in Germany, when in fact, the question that was asked of me was pertaining to whether or not I believed that Hitler was whether or not I believed in nationalism and that nationalism was bad. And what I responded to was that I do not believe that we should be characterizing Hitler as a nationalist. He was a homicidal, psychopathic maniac that killed his own people. A nationalist would not kill their own people. That is exactly what I was referring to in the clip, and he purposely wanted to give you a cut-up similar to what they do to Donald Trump to create a different narrative. That was unbelievably dishonest, and he did not allow me to respond to it, which is worrisome and should tell you a lot about where people are today in terms of trying to drum up narratives. By the way, I would like to also add that I work for Prager University, which is run by an Orthodox Jew. Not a single Democrat showed up to the embassy opening in Jerusalem. I sat on a plane for 18 hours to make sure that I was there. I'm deeply offended by the insinuation of revealing that clip without the question that was asked of me.
Damn. That is one.
Oof. Thanks, Mrs. Owens, and I yield the remainder of my time.
Look at him. Just there's no mind there. Good Lord. And we got some other follow-up news from poor Lori Loughlin. Lori Loughlin and 15 other parents were indicted today on a new money laundering charge in connection to that college cheating scandal I talked about that has implicated dozens of wealthy parents, coaches, and college administrators across the nation. The grand jury indictment comes a month after federal authorities arrested a total of 50 people in what has been dubbed Operation Varsity Blues. That's fucking stupid. I'm not calling it that. This is the largest college admissions case ever prosecuted in the U.S. Loughlin and 15 other parents, including her husband, now face up to a total of 40 years for the two charges against them, which is conspiracy to commit fraud and money laundering, as well as a combined fine of up to $750,000. This is according to the U.S. Attorney's Office in Massachusetts. The indictment was announced the day after 13 other parents agreed to plead guilty, which is a sign that prosecutors are determined to pressure anyone still fighting the allegations. One of those 13 who pled guilty is Felicity Huffman. She was on Desperate Housewives. Her plea hearing is set for May 24th. So, I mean, I don't see how that's true. That's true. I don't see how she's going to go to jail. But it's really funny how it's two things. Being a celebrity is a double-edged sword. One is, like, people like you, you get off, you're powerful. On the other hand, people like to make an example of you. Martha Stewart's a great example. Like, she did not have to go to jail because people who had similar case to her did not have the punishment that she had. So we'll be following this story and many more as Brexit comes careening to a dance floor near you. But until then, I will wish you sweet dreams.